As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hey, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us again for another episode of Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm hoping you guys had a stellar week. I know I had a wonderful week. You know, it was actually my birthday week. So, yep. Thank you. I turned the big 39 again for the second time. I don't know what it is about turning 40, actually. I've been, like, the last 4 or 5 years, I've been just kind of dreading that day. Like, it's, I know it's a milestone for some people, but I don't know. I've been having problems accepting that I'm the big 40 right now. So, it's been a great birthday week, though. It's always nice to be spoiled. And, you know, every year I try to reflect on what it is I got right this year and what I need to improve on. And, you know, in my 40 years, Lord knows, I'm only here by the grace of God, and a lot of people have put up with a lot of crap. I've definitely done some things I'm not proud of, but then I've done a lot of things that I am proud of, and I've tried to continue to grow and better myself and just in general be better for my community and for the people around me and the people that I love. And if I had to sum up anything about my successes, it'd be that somehow I've managed to surround myself with amazing friends and family. And, you know, they're my peeps, and I appreciate them. And I won't be the man I am today without their guidance and their honesty. So things I'm proud of, you know, my greatest attributes, obviously my children, Anna and Noah, beautiful kids, so much fun, amazing young adults. My daughter, she is a junior in high school now, and it's kind of starting to set in that, oh my God, you know, time has just flown by and I'm running out of time with her. You know, she's going to be graduating and off to college, and that's really starting to scare the heck out of me. And my son Noah, he's in junior high, and he's just a fun kid. I mentioned several times we like to hunt together now, and as he gets older and more mature, we're starting to be able to do more together. So those are the things that I'm the most proud of. And the funny thing about that is I was sharing with my friends on Facebook, actually, you know, I can thank my wife for that. She really gets the credit and is responsible for these kids turning out how they've turned out. So, Lucia, thank you. Couldn't do this journey called life without you. Love you. And just looking forward to another 40 years together. So we'll see if you can put up with me for that long. But yeah, great birthday. I gave myself a little bit of an early birthday present. You guys know I'm always going to share my hunting stories. And I think I told you the last show, elk season was right around the corner. And that's what I live for. And one thing I'll tell you about me, I'm not in great shape. You know, you might call me fat. I'm not like huge by any means, but I'm a little chubby. I got, you know, a little bit of a pot belly on me. I call it the Polish pot. And I'm not one to exercise a whole lot. I don't have time to go to the gym. I have a pretty busy life. And I probably won't go anyway. I'm not a walker. Unless it's like just around the property and working around the yard, mowing the lawn, things like that. I do stay active, but again, exercise just isn't my bag. So, but every year before elk season, I always tell myself about 2 or 3 days before, dang it, Mickey, you were supposed to be in shape this year. And sure enough, here it comes, and nope, I'm still fat. So, and I cuss myself when I'm out there hiking. The thing about elk season for me, I find that I can do things physically and mentally that I can't do the rest of the year. But during elk season, my body just, it gets in this zone and my mind gets in this place and I just go after these elk. And it's not uncommon to walk 14, 15 miles in the most nasty country God's ever created going after these elk. And I don't think nothing of it. And I can just do it. And like I said, any other time of the year, heck no, I'd be on my deathbed. You know, there's times out there during hunting that I'm cussing myself wishing I was on my deathbed, but for some reason I'm able to accomplish things and find that drive to keep pushing forward. So I hunt over here in the Coast Range. You know, it's steep, thick, nasty country. And you got the viney maple tangling you up, and you got salmon berry scratching you up, and you got ferns up to your chest. And you're grabbing onto ferns and you're pulling yourself up because it's so steep, and you're trying to figure out how to cross the streams at the bottom of the gully. And it just is, it's some of the worst country you could imagine. But hey, if you want to go after that big bull, that's where you got to go. And I like to get away from the people, so I go in farther. That's why I walk so much. I drive a little bit farther to get there, and then once I'm there, I'm not afraid to dive off into those canyons, and I'll spend 2 or 3 days down there until I find some elk. I have some amazing hunting partners. Couldn't do it without them, and these guys just keep me motivated and give me some comfort when I'm out there. A lot of times we're off by ourselves in the woods, but we know that we're only, you know, 2 or 3 ridges away from our buddy, and if anything happens, you got help right there. I tell you what, you'll develop the best friendships and the best camaraderie with folks when you're sharing those experiences, and when you're out there in God's country and sucking it all in, and you're with the right people, there's nothing better in life than that. So I get out there and I work hard, and we walk a lot, and it's nasty, but it's so, so rewarding. And this year, you know, I was blessed. On Monday, the third day of my hunt, I was able to jump a bull. He snuck down around. I didn't know that it was an elk at the time. This year it's been really dry. It's hard to sneak in the woods this year. Everything's so crunchy. And I was walking down a finger, getting ready to drop off the side of this ridgeline, and I heard this noise, and they dove over the other side of the finger on the other side of the ridge. And so instead of trying to follow it, because there's no way I could sneak up on it, I circled back around and tried to cut it off. I didn't know what it was. There's a lot of bear out there where we hunt too. It could have been a bear. I wasn't sure. But nonetheless, I was able to get to the other ridgeline about 20 minutes later and started walking down that ridgeline. And I'm going through the deep timber, and I've got ferns up to my belly button. And like I said, I'm kind of fat, so I'm not real quiet. I try to be. You know, I'm out of shape, so I'm breathing hard. And plus I'm excited because I know there's an animal out there. So my heart's pumping and I don't think there was anything stealthy about me. I always joke around and I tell my family and friends that I'm a cat-like ninja, you know, and the truth is I'll be honest with you, I'm not. But long story short, I come over this next ridgeline, and there's this bull, and he's on to me, and he's taking off, and he's running through the timber. And I'm carrying my Browning BAR 300 Winchester Magnum, and I drop down on one knee and raise that gun up to my shoulder, and I'm having to thread the needle now because he's running through this timber, and I've got to pick my shot so I can hit what I'm aiming at and not have that hit a tree. So I had to act quick, and by the grace of God and a little bit of luck, I was able to pull it off, and I shot him once, and it went right behind the shoulder, and he dropped. Man, I was so excited, and I heard him thrashing around, and he was getting ready to dive over the next ridgeline, which was just a steep, nasty mess, and down at the bottom, it's just full of salmonberry, and it would have made my pack probably 3 times harder than what it already was. And I heard him thrashing around, and they say, you always want to wait. You want to let him you know, just kind of die. If you chase them too early, they'll jump up again and take off on you, and they got adrenaline, they can run for yards. And so you want to be patient and let nature take its course and let that elk or any animal just kind of die peacefully on its own without being chased. But I was really terrified it was going to dive over that ridgeline. And so my patience ran out because I heard it get back up and start moving over. And so I took off running after it, and I trip and I get back up, and I carry a big pack because I don't know how long I'm going to be in the woods. And it's about 50 pounds. It's more than, you know, I could live up there for a month if I had to. It's, my friends laugh at me because it's more than I need to take. But you know what? If anything happens, I'm definitely prepared. And so I tear my pack off, and I actually, believe it or not, I drop my rifle. This is probably bad advice. It's not something I'd share with my hunter safety kids. But I drop my rifle, and I take off running about 75 yards to get over this little knoll where I can see the elk. And he's just starting to dive behind where he's going to get down below that ridge. And I wanted to stop him. And I pull out my Smith & Wesson 41 Magnum revolver. And I'm about 30 feet away, and I squeeze the trigger and hit him right in the back of the head. And he drops right there. Success. So I get to tell everybody now that I shot my elk with my Smith & Wesson 41 Magnum revolver. Not a lot of people can say that. It's kind of a fun story. So now you know the whole story. So I gave him a few minutes, and he took his last breath and said a little prayer, thanked the Lord for his blessings. And that was about 3:30 in the afternoon. And if you're a hunter, you know that in the timber up there, by 4:30, it's pitch black. So I got to work really quick, got a hold of my buddy, and he came in right away, and we started skinning that thing and cutting the meat out. And I tell you what, we don't leave one drop of meat. We take every piece of rib meat, the neck meat, the whole nine yards. If you're going to harvest an animal, you should be responsible and use everything that you can. So we packed everything out. And again, we're miles back there. It's bare of a country. It takes several trips. The first pack, I took a front shoulder and a back quarter on my pack board, and I probably had over 200 pounds on my back. And again, any other day of the year, I won't be able to handle that. But during elk season, God gives you a little bit of extra strength, I think. And he helped us get through that, and I was able to get out of those woods. Shot the animal at 3:30, got back to my truck about 12:30 in the morning, and dead tired, but just running on adrenaline and so stoked that I was able to get the job done. So you guys know that feeling if you're a hunter. If you're not a hunter, I tell you what, there's very few feelings in the world that make you feel like that. It's just an amazing experience. So I recommend it for everybody. So I had some success, super stoked. You know, we hang our meat for a few days, weather permitting, depending on what the temperature is. If it's cool and cold, I'd like to hang it for 4 or 5 days, but it's been a little bit warm, so I just hung it for a couple days, and then I butchered all up myself. I'm going to be grinding some up to make elk burger and some sausage, some summer sausage. We'll get that smoked up. And, of course, we got some amazing roast and steaks. We're going to be eating backstrap here this weekend. And so it all in all was just a perfect birthday. Spent it with friends and family. I got a hunt. I was successful on my hunt. God is good. And it was just a great week. I'm hoping you guys had as good of a week as I did. I know this is going to be one that I remember for many, many years. And I'm going to be sharing this story over and over again throughout my life. So, hey, remember, you guys can always follow us here at Patriot Uprising Radio on Facebook. Like my page, share my page, go ahead and send me a message, leave a comment on the page about the show. If there's any specific topics that you guys want to hear about, any suggestions you have for me, just Any feedback you can give me about the show, I want to hear it. So, again, find me on Facebook page, Patriot Uprising Radio, or send me over an email at patriotuprisingradio@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you, and let's just have a real good conversation. All right, we'll be right back, and we will see you on the flip side.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hey, welcome back, friends. Hopefully you enjoyed the last story I shared. Again, that's one of the nice things about this show. We get to talk about a little bit of everything. And again, I like to hunt, so I'll get sidetracked. I'm going to talk about hunting every now and then. Around the world, though, what's going on? Man, who here is just about tired of this impeachment crap? Who here is tired of the lies that the Democrats keep doing and just shoving down our throats? Facts don't matter. And the hypocrisy, it is mind-boggling that here they are investigating President Trump for possibly investigating or wanting to look into investigating illegal activities done by one of his political opponents. You know, shame on him for wanting to uphold his oath of office and uphold the law of the land, the Constitution. Shame on him for doing that. It shouldn't matter if it's a political opponent. If somebody's broken the law or is suspected of breaking the law, they need to be investigated. And Donald Trump is not allowed to do that. But isn't that exactly what the Democrats have done to him from day one of him announcing his candidacy? Investigation after investigation after investigation. Obama started it. Hillary started it. The Democrats are continuing it. Nancy Pelosi. Donald Trump is a political candidate as well. He's not immune to all these investigations. And they've spent countless dollars, millions upon millions of dollars, 3.5 years of wasted time digging up everything they possibly could find, and they still can't get him. They don't got enough dirt on him. As I've said a million times, this guy, Donald Trump, is probably the most squeaky clean politician we've ever had. Because I guarantee you, 99% of the people, with the kind of resources that are being used to target Donald Trump, from the private sector, the media, the multi-billionaire donors like George Soros and Bloomberg, and then our own government, the Justice Department, the CIA, the House, the Senate. It's just amazing the amount of dollars and resources that have been dumped into trying to make Donald Trump guilty of something. And the man is still ticking, and they just can't find anything. So I was more skeptical when he first got elected. And when some of these investigations got announced, even though I knew that they weren't for the right reasons, I was worried what kind of dirt they might be able to come up with, just because, Donald Trump, he's a interesting character and he's a billionaire and who knows? I am more confident in his character now than I ever was before, because there's not been any stone left unturned. And, you know, he's a human being. He's not perfect, but there's nothing major there. There's no smoking gun. The guy is actually pretty clean, and he's a pretty good dude. So it's just amazing that we're at this point that where the standards are absolutely, there's a double standard. And absolutely, there's not just one justice that fits all. And the Democrats play by a different set of rules, and they're going to lie and cheat and steal. And I'm just fed up with it. There is so many good things. There's some good pieces of legislation that Congress should be working on and passing. We got to help our vets out. There's some good legislation there that helps our vets how it pertains to prescriptions and what facilities they can use and things like that. And it's just sitting there because Congress isn't focused on anything except for trying to impeach our duly elected president. Or what about the trade deal, the Canada-Mexico trade deal? That should have been signed. That is good for our country. That's a win all the way around. Canada and Mexico are not going to wait forever. And Congress is putting that deal in jeopardy. And they are just sitting there twiddling their thumbs. And the only thing they're focused on is how do we impeach Donald Trump? It's a travesty. It's disgusting. Their actions are unconstitutional the way they're going about it. You could argue that there's criminal actions that are taking place. There is not due process. And I never thought that we would see this in the United States of America. It's our government is running like it's a third world country right now under the Democratic leadership in the House. And it's just flat out disgusting. And I'm wondering, when are we the people, right? We're supposed to have the power, okay? They don't have the power. Our Constitution guarantees that we have the power. When are we going to say enough is enough? When are we going to get fed up? What's it going to take to get us to the point that we're willing to defend our country, defend our Constitution, and defend this president? Because I am about there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting really sick and tired of what's going on. And you know what? Thomas Jefferson says the tree of liberty needs to be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And I tell you what, I'm a patriot, and I'm looking at you, Pelosi, and I'm looking at you, Schiff, and I want to say, what are you? Because we are tired, and enough is enough. So my question to my audience out there is, where is that line in the sand? When are you guys going to say enough is enough? Are we going to wait till the 2020 elections? Are we going to just let them continue to act and do the things that they're doing to our president? Even if Trump wins again, I'm confident he will. I think he's going to win by bigger numbers than he ever had. But they're not going to stop. They're going to continue doing this as long as we let them do it. And it's criminal what they're doing. It's anti-American propaganda. It's treasonous. They are literally trying to have a coup. And it's about time we the people stand up and we protect our president and we put a stop to this. So yeah, I'm calling the patriots out there. I'm calling you out. I'm tired of the social media warriors that just like to type things and then they'll never put their foot down. They'll never actually take the stand. It's time for us to take a stand, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for us to protect our president.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
All right, we're back, and if you're just joining us, we were just discussing a little bit. In fact, I got a little bit passionate. I'm ready to draw that line in the sand. I'm tired of the coup. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the double standard. I'm ready to protect our Constitution, our republic, and our president. And I'm just wondering where my patriots are out there, because there's got to be more people out there that feel the same way I do. And I'm trying to wrap my brain around what this really means. What are these feelings I'm having? What does that mean? And I know it's pretty powerful. And actually, I wrote something similar down. And I had a couple people say, whoa, Mick, that's a little bit extreme. You're going to get yourself on this watch list. And I'm thinking, well, shoot, number one, if there's a list, I was on it a long time ago. And number two, so what? What are we afraid of? Number one, we have a Bill of Rights. I have freedom of speech. I can say I'm tired of this crap. And number two, we have a duty. As Americans, we have a responsibility If we don't protect our republic, if we don't defend the Constitution, we will lose it. And when we see an attempted coup over our duly elected commander-in-chief, it's our obligation to stand up. It's at least our responsibility to let him know we have his back. We're willing to fight for him. I got to tell you, I don't want war. But I think we're foolish if we're trying to convince ourselves that it's not already here. I think we're foolish if we're trying to convince ourselves that the Democrats can be reasoned with. Let me tell you something, friends. The Democrats, they're at war. They don't like us. They don't believe in what we believe in. And instead of finding that middle ground, or instead of saying, hey, I don't necessarily agree with you, but we can agree to disagree and be civil, I think that time has passed. I don't think they believe that. I think they'd wipe us out if they had the ability to do so. We're in a cold civil war. We have been for the last decade, probably. It's slowly been escalating. But our need, our desire to deny that this is happening has caused our side, the conservative base, to keep allowing them to take advantage of us, to keep allowing them to step on our liberty, to strip us of freedom, and to commit these horrible acts against our Constitution and against our country. And we look at it as we can take it. It's okay, we can take it. We'll give a little bit. But if you haven't noticed, friends, we're the only side that's giving. They're not losing anything. They're gaining. And it's about our culture. It's about the founding principles of this nation. We need to hang on to this. We need to protect this heritage. And we cannot afford to continue giving and giving and giving. Friends, when is it that we're going to be willing to say enough is enough, no more, and we're drawing that line in the sand, and instead of typing on a keyboard, we're willing to take an action? I know this is a huge conversation, and it's a little bit scary of a conversation, but like I said, I don't think we can fool ourselves. I think the other side's already acknowledged that. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're willing to do. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about our beliefs. We're in their way. We're a nuisance. This progressive agenda they have, it leads to socialism. It leads to communism. And they're not trying to hide it anymore. They're celebrating it. That's what they want. They call it democratic socialism. It's different. No, it's not different. It's going to lead to destruction of this country, something that I'm not willing to allow. It's going to lead to death. I'm going to defend life. This is a big conversation. Not enough people are having it. Yes, the war is already here. And if we don't get on board, if we don't acknowledge that, everything that we cherish is going to slip away. Donald Trump he is just the figurehead of their divisiveness. Just because he was elected. It could have been anybody. It could have been Ted Cruz. It could have been Jeb Bush. Donald Trump's not divisive, though. He's just the guy that they want to make you believe is divisive. It's all smoke and mirrors. They've got a big agenda, and he's standing in their way. He's their biggest threat. He is the one man that they weren't ready for. The one man that they couldn't manipulate, scare. He is their biggest threat. And if we don't back him up, we're going to lose it all. So let's have that discussion. What's that really mean? When is enough enough? When is the line going to get drawn in the sand? And what comes next? Our founding fathers were brilliant. How they could foresee into the future and understand that we might have these conversations someday is amazing. The things that they knew we were going to face, the challenges that they knew we were going to face, and the things that they warned us of, and the protections that they put in place to give us the tools to help navigate that is truly incredible. I have to believe that there was more than just them involved. I think God had his hand in it, because there's no way they could have known. But they predicted all of this. And they gave us specific instructions. Now, we get so wound up in our daily lives, and everybody's got it pretty good. Everybody's got an iPhone, and we got a roof over our heads and food in our belly, and it's easy to ignore what's going on. It's easier to think, well, you know, it doesn't affect me. Well, it might not affect you today, but I guarantee you it's going to affect you. And by the time you realize it, unfortunately, it might be too late. There's countless examples throughout history of countries that have changed and gone through similar types of events. And the promise of being better taken care of. Everybody gets a fair cut. The government health care. It's been done over and over again, and it's just never worked out. And there's examples of these people that have lived through these horrible atrocities when a country converts and you get a dictatorship or you go into communism and lives get destroyed. And you have people that are still alive today that remember that, and they say, we should have done something when we could have. We could have stopped it. We could have saved lives. But we didn't. We were afraid. We bought into the propaganda. We bought the lie. We didn't take action. And then all of a sudden, it was too late. Now, I'm not an extremist. I'm not a conspiracy theory type guy. I go off history. I study history. I look at all the facts. And I know that we're headed down a road in this country. And I'm praying it's not too late to stop it. I'm praying we still have time. I'm praying this is our moment to say no. And we're not going to have the same fate or the same responses as some of these other victims did in these other countries that went down similar roads. That as Americans, we're going to be strong and we're going to stand up and we're going to stop it before it gets too late. Before we start watching our fellow countrymen being rounded up and put onto boxcars. I know that sounds extreme. It's a metaphor. Think about the past. Think about the atrocities that took place. We can't go there. We need to stop it. It's time for patriots to rise and say no more.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Welcome back, friends. Thanks for staying with us today. Remember, you can find us on Patriot Uprising at Facebook, or you can email me at patriotuprising@gmail.com. We've been talking a lot about just what it is we need to do next, basically, in a nutshell. Our values, our fundamentals, our beliefs, our ideology, our republic, our constitution, our president is all under attack. We are at war. What is it we do next? Have we drawn the line in the sand? Are we willing to stand up and fight? Is that what it means? I know it's a lot to think about. Laying some heavy stuff down and, man, I wish I had the answers. I don't have the answers. All I can do is try to talk about it with you guys and figure it out. I will fight, though, for this country and for this president. We know what the Democrats want to do, and so far there's nobody stopping them. Trump's a roadblock, but who's got his back? That's the question. This impeachment, you watch these hearings, there's nothing there. It's ridiculous. The hearing that happened this week with the Ambassador Sondland or the military colonel, there's nothing there. Hearsay, there's no quid pro quo, no extortion, no bribery. Ukraine didn't feel pressured. But they don't care. The facts are in front of them, and guys like Schiff will look you straight in the eye on national TV and lie to your face. That guy, man, hold pencil neck. He's got to go. He's got to go. I pray to God that they have some type of common sense in California. And they'll get rid of him. He doesn't represent the country. He's got his own agenda. And he's just a disgusting liar. And you know what? I see these people and anymore what I see is just evil. What they're doing is evil. And I believe that, you know, there's evil forces at work here. We're witnessing it now more than ever. And when I hear him talk and when I see that look in his eyes, I just get this overwhelming feeling that there's just this evil presence about him. And he's seeking to destroy this republic. And there's a lot of people just like him. He's not alone. So it's time for us to man up. It's time for us to suit up. It's time for us to make sure that they understand our message that enough is enough. I don't know what that means yet, but I think every one of us should be really thinking about that. Every one of us should be deciding, what does that mean personally for me? What does that mean for my family? Who can I network with? Who are the people I can trust? Who are the people that will have my back? Who are the people that will stand shoulder to shoulder with me? A another thing I think when I'm trying to figure out the best course of action and possible solutions, I think one of the quickest way to fix things at the national level is to fix them at your local level first. Again, the changes that happen there are going to impact you the quickest. Whether you're talking about your school boards or your city councils or your county commissioners, this is an area that you can have a serious impact, and your vote counts and is significant, and you can change things. And you can change them at that level faster than you can at the national level. I wonder, how did we get to this point in our country? How are the things that are happening, how are they even allowed to happen? And honestly, it starts out with education. We've got people that believe the way they believe today because of the education they received in our public schools. I know there's a handful of good teachers out there. I don't want to blast every teacher. But when you have the majority of the kids coming out of public school nowadays with this anti-American ideology and all they've been taught is this propaganda that you know, capitalism is bad, our constitution is flawed, and we need to look at these socialist countries, and that's the direction we should be going. That's what our kids are learning in the public schools. That's where we need to fix the problem. As long as we keep having generations after generations come out of the public school system believing this, we're going to keep having pencil neck shifts in Congress or AOC's and her crew that have no comprehension of the real world, that have no values or beliefs instilled into them from our Constitution and our founding fathers. We've got to attack education first. We've got to fix the problem there. If you're a teacher, you've got a huge responsibility. And like I said, I'm not trying to attack teachers. I know there's a lot of good teachers out there. But I just don't understand. If there's so many good teachers out there, why are we getting these generations year after year after year graduating from high school with this type of mentality? It doesn't make sense to me. They're learning it from somewhere. It's got to be coming from the teachers. I know a lot of teachers are going to blame the curriculum and the mandates from the state. But you got to be a free thinker. You got to work around that stuff. You got to fight that stuff. You got to ask yourself, are you willing to go against the grain? Are you willing to go against your union? Unions are one of the biggest problems we have in this country. The teachers union, oh my God. And you know, I talk to teachers and they're terrified of their union. And if they don't tote the line, they're afraid of losing their job or something. Is it worth selling out our kids for? Is that union and being under their thumb, not being free, not doing what you know is right in your heart, are they worth selling out the kids? Because that's what's happened. We have to fundamentally change the education system. We got to get rid of the teachers' unions. And we need to make sure that the teachers are putting out a product that isn't brainwashed and filled with propaganda and lies, but is taught civics and history, the real history, that's taught about capitalism, that's taught our Constitution. Kids don't get that anymore. And I think if we start there, eventually those kids are going to be the next politicians. They're going to be your next city council. And that's how we fix this country. It all starts with the education, and it's time for us to take it back. Thanks for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.